Welcome to Beta Finch, your AI-powered earnings breakdown where we turn corporate speak into plain talk.
Today, we're diving into United Health's Q4 2025 results. And wow, there's a lot to unpack here.
Before we get started, I need to mention that this podcast is AI-generated content for educational and entertainment purposes only. Nothing we discuss should be considered investment advice. Always do your own research and consult a qualified financial advisor before making any investment decisions.
Right. And speaking of unpacking, United Health just delivered what I'd call a everything but the kitchen sink quarter. They beat expectations slightly with adjusted EPS of $16.35, but there's this massive $1.6 billion charge lurking underneath.
Yeah, that charge is wild. It's like getting three different bills at once, $800 million related to that cyber attack cleanup, a $440 million gain from selling off assets, and then a whopping $2.5 billion restructuring charge. It's clear they're doing some serious spring cleaning.
What caught my attention is how transparent CEO Stephen Hemsley was about this being a new age for the company. They're essentially admitting they need to get back to basics while investing heavily in AI. We're talking $1.5 billion in 2026 alone.
Let's talk numbers first. Revenue hit nearly $448 billion, up 12% year over year, which is solid. But the real story is in the 2026 guidance. They're projecting adjusted EPS of greater than $17.75, which represents at least 8.6% growth.
That guidance is interesting because it's what I'd call cautiously optimistic. They're expecting double-digit improvements at United Healthcare, but only low to high single-digit growth across the Optum segments. It tells me they're being realistic about their turnaround timeline.
The Medicare Advantage story is probably the biggest concern for investors. Tim Noel basically said they're planning to lose 1.3 to 1.4 million Medicare Advantage members in 2026. That's not a typo. They're intentionally shrinking to focus on profitability over growth.
And then yesterday's rate notice for 2027 was apparently even worse than expected. Noel called it disappointing and warned of meaningful benefit reductions for seniors. When a healthcare executive is that blunt about government rates, you know it's bad.
What's their strategy to deal with this? It sounds like they're doubling down on margin recovery. They expect Medicare margins to improve by about 50 basis points in 2026, but they're essentially trading membership for profitability.
The Optum turnaround is where things get really interesting. Patrick Conway, the new Optum CEO, outlined some pretty dramatic changes. They've narrowed their provider network by 20%, streamlined risk membership by 15%, and consolidated down from 18 different electronic medical record systems to just three.
That EMR consolidation alone shows you how scattered they were. Imagine trying to implement AI tools across 18 different systems. It's like trying to conduct an orchestra where every musician is reading different sheet music.
Speaking of AI, they claim 80% of member calls now use AI tools, and they're expecting nearly $1 billion in AI-enabled cost reductions in 2026. That's not just efficiency gains. That's transformational if they can pull it off.
Now let's talk about what came up in the Q&A, because that's where executives sometimes reveal what they're really thinking. One analyst asked about the bottom of the Medicare Advantage cycle, and you could sense the frustration in management's response.
Right. They're clearly not happy with the regulatory environment. Hemsley mentioned $130 billion in funding reductions over the past 3 years. That's not a small number. That's basically saying the government has been systematically underfunding the program.
What I found telling was the discussion about Optum Health margins. They're still targeting that 6 to 8% range long term, but Conway gave some specific examples of markets that are already performing well, like their Texas operations serving 750,000 patients with 30% better total cost of care than competitors.
That Texas example is crucial because it shows their integrated model can work when executed properly. The problem seems to have been consistency across markets, not the fundamental strategy.
One thing that stood out was their commitment to transparency. Hemsley announced they'll start publishing data on prior authorization rates, claim approvals, rebate practices, basically opening their books to public scrutiny. That's either very confident or very desperate.
I think it's strategic. With all the political pressure on health insurers, getting ahead of transparency demands could be smart positioning. Plus, if you're confident in your practices, why not showcase them?
Let's talk about what this means for investors going forward. The company is essentially asking for patience while they rebuild. The membership losses are intentional, the restructuring costs are behind them, and they're betting big on AI and value-based care.
The key question is execution. They've identified the problems, they have a plan, but can they actually deliver? The fact that they're guiding conservatively for 2026 suggests management wants to underpromise and overdeliver.
What gives me some confidence is the cash flow. $19.7 billion in 2025, about 1.5 times net income. That's real money they can invest in their turnaround. And they're expecting to get back to their historical capital deployment patterns in the second half of 2026.
The debt-to-capital target of 40% by year-end also shows financial discipline. They're not just throwing money at problems, they're being strategic about capital allocation.
Looking ahead, I think 2026 is going to be a prove-it year for UnitedHealth. They've done the hard work of identifying problems and taking charges. Now they need to show that their AI investments, network optimization, and margin focus actually translate to sustainable growth.
The Medicare headwinds aren't going away, so their ability to grow earnings despite membership declines will be the real test. If they can do that while building a stronger foundation, the stock could work well for patient investors.
Before we wrap up,
as an important reminder for our listeners. Absolutely. Everything we've discussed today is AI-generated analysis for educational purposes only. Past performance doesn't guarantee future results, and the healthcare sector faces significant regulatory and operational risks. Please do your own due diligence before making any investment decisions.
That's a wrap on UnitedHealth's Q4 results. Thanks for tuning in to Beta Finch. Until next time, keep those earnings expectations calibrated.
And remember, in the world of healthcare stocks, patience isn't just a virtue, it's a necessity.
That's all for today's earnings analysis. If you found this helpful, consider supporting Beta Finch on Patreon. Your support helps us upgrade our voices, cover more companies, and keep this show running. Visit patreon.com/betafinch to learn more. Thanks for listening.